Hello and welcome back to the Embracing a Simple Life podcast. I'm Mitch.
And I'm Katie.
And this week we're going to shake things up a little bit. We're going to do it a little bit different. We're going to talk about something that's really personal to us. Actually, really personal to me, which is like really, really shaking it up because I don't normally do that kind of thing. So, without further ado,
we want to share about a time when we learned a lot about prayer.
It all started one night. I don't remember what day of the week it was, but I started getting sick. I felt really, really bad. I felt like I had this giant bubble of gas in my intestines, and it just would not go away. And it was growing in intensity and growing in pain and making me really sick. It was making me nauseous too, and I couldn't eat very well. I felt terrible. Life was just really...
You were throwing up a lot.
Not too good. Not too good at that point. And at one point, Katie left the house, and I got the shakes for the second time, and I've never gotten the shakes like that, that bad and that intense. And it was really scary sitting there in the house by myself, and I'm just convulsively shaking, feeling like it's never going to stop. After it was done, it felt like the greatest workout I've ever had in my life because every muscle in my body had been convulsing back and forth as hard as it could. I had zero energy, zero food, and so I was completely and totally exhausted after that happened. And at that point, I was like, I should probably go to the hospital, if nothing else, just so I can get some fluids in me.
So I got home from vacation Bible school. I do remember where I was. And we took him to the emergency room.
And on the ride there, I was just like, I really hope this isn't some bad case of gas or something really just stupid. And we went in the emergency room and I'm in pain. But when I'm in a lot of pain, it doesn't show on my face, and I don't exclaim to everybody how much pain I'm in.
And he doesn't rate his pain very highly because he's such a tough guy. He's like, well, this must be just a six.
There could be worse things out there. I mean, definitely could be worse things out there. So we see the doctor. He's like, we don't really know what it is. You know, lower abdominal pain. A lot of people come in and say they have lower abdominal pain, and most of the time it's nothing. So they send me back home after giving me some fluids.
And anti-nausea medication.
But the pain did not stop. The pain increased and got worse. And it just got to the point where there's clearly something else wrong. So we went back. Got a CAT scan this time. Last time they did not give me a CAT scan. As soon as they got the CAT scan results back, they're like, oh boy. And they gave me the biggest dose of the hardest hitting, the heavy hitter, as they call it.
Pain medication,
narcotic, to make me feel less pain. Because they realized after looking at my CAT scan that my appendix was not in good shape. It was really nasty looking. The surgeon got word of that and he wanted to get me on the surgery room table as quickly as they could. And so he knocked the other surgeries that he had that day back a little bit so that he could get me in first thing the next morning. Because this was late at night before we got all these results and everything.
And it seemed that the surgery had gone well. He said it was a very, very bad appendix. We won't go into any great detail, but this is not your normal appendicitis. But they thought they got it. They thought that it was all going to be fine. And you had to have a drain inserted as a precaution, but it seemed that all was well at that point.
Yes, because my appendix had leaked a little bit and gotten bad stuff all in my system, I had to have a drain. So they put that in. I had a few days of recovery. I recovered well, was feeling good. I spent the night in the hospital because it was a little worse case. Normally they would send you home, but they did keep me overnight that night. And I went back home, took my very strong antibiotics, went back into the doctor a week later, and they pulled my little tube that was in my abdomen, draining stuff out of me, out. And that day also happened to be the end of my antibiotics. That was Tuesday. And I went home and started to try to go back to life as normal without my little baggie.
but that was not in the cards. In fact, you started feeling worse.
Well, you know, Wednesday I went and worked. Usually I work from home, but Wednesday I went to a different city and worked there most of the day. And I started to not feel well and just kind of felt nauseous and sick again. But not real bad, not like different than you normally might be. And sometimes you just get that way, you know. So I kept on going. Thursday I was feeling sick. Friday, we had a photo shoot. It was hot outside, and I was struggling to do this photo shoot. It was difficult. I was in a lot of pain. I did not want to stand up. I was very exhausted. But we did the photo shoot. Life was fine. I thought it was just, you know what, I'm off the antibiotics. I'm not taking pain medicine. And I'm probably doing a little more than they wanted me to do activity-wise, and so maybe that's just causing these things.
Finally, the next day, his pain got so bad.
It got really bad. It got bad enough that I was like, okay, we got to go back to the hospital. Something's not quite right here. And we went back to the ER, and this time there was a longer wait, and I was in much more pain this time than I had been previously at all with the appendicitis. By the time we got to the hospital and everything was going on, I've had kidney stones in the past, and maybe those are a little more painful, but I was miserable. And they got me back into the room eventually. It took a while. And they were just slammed. But they got me back there and figured out what was going on. They took another CAT scan, and they figured out that I had a very serious and bad infection in my body. And once they figured that out, the nurse that was in there said, oh, I've got a ton of patients. I've got all this stuff to do and all these other people I've got to take care of. But as soon as they figured out that how serious my condition was, this ER nurse, never ever left our room. He was there the entire time giving me pain medication, making sure that I was on my right antibiotics, and making sure that everything was good during that time. So to me, when that happened, it was very clear that somebody who's super and busy and has all these patients going on and totally stopped all that other stuff just so he can be in my room, this might be somewhat serious.
Yeah, so they called in on-call people to do a procedure where they inserted another drain with a needle into your pocket of infection in your abdomen.
Well, they didn't insert. The procedure wasn't to insert the drain. The procedure was to take the pockets of infection. So there were two really big and a couple more pockets of infection. And so they took this really big needle, and it was something I was awake for, and they gave me local anesthetic, and I would sit on a CAT scan machine. So I'm sitting, laying on those very uncomfortable beds in more pain than you can imagine. And I don't respond well.
Well, they might be able to imagine more pain than I can imagine.
I don't respond well to local anesthetic. So this guy has this 12-inch needle that he's sticking in my abdomen, and they stick it in maybe a centimeter or probably less, and then they send me through the CAT scan machine to figure out where that needle is and when they're going to get to the infection. Then they move the needle a little bit, then they CAT scan me again, then they move the needle, and you keep doing that over and over and over and over again. And they're just trying to figure out where that needle is. And once they get in the pocket of infection, they start pulling out that infection through the needle. They suck it out of my body. So they get to one spot, and he can't really get much out of that spot. So he's not too happy. So he's like, okay, well, I'm going to go after this other big spot. And it was about that time that the local anesthetic really just stopped working. It was pretty much useless at that point. And so as he moved to that second spot, I was miserable, and I told him I was pretty sure I was going to throw up. And then as soon as I told him that, he got like right in my face and was like, you cannot throw up. He's like yelling at me. He had been very nice, great bedside manner up to that point, but he got like his sports coach voice on and was intensely telling me I was not allowed to throw up. I guess that's not good if you have a giant needle stuck in your abdomen to throw up. So,
and it worked. You were scared out of it.
I never did throw up. So that's a good thing. That's a blessing. But that procedure was, it was awful. It was just an awful thing to go through. So I don't wish that on anybody. But eventually the procedure ended. They left a drain in there to help drain the rest of some of that infection out. And sent me up to the recovery floor where I spent, actually I spent the next 5 days. But that was Saturday night, real late on Saturday night by the time I was done with the procedure and up in my room and everything. And then Sunday came. Sunday was the worst day of this whole thing. And the reason that was the worst day was it didn't seem to be working. Every time the surgeon came in the room, he was looking for me to be improving, and I was not improving. I could not get out of bed. I could not move, and I really prided myself on being the best patient I could be. My goal was to make the nurse's job as easy as it could possibly be, but I was miserably failing on Sunday to do that. Not because I had a negative attitude. I had a great attitude, but because I was in excruciating pain. I could not move. I could not get up. I could not do anything. I couldn't even shift myself in my bed without being completely and utterly miserable. The doctor would come in and see me and check on me and realize how much pain I was in. And he was always very surprised. And you could see this concerned look on his face. My mom came up from Texas at one point, and when the nurse saw her, she saw her in the hallway at first. And she said, "Ooh, there's everyone else on this floor, and then there's Mitchell, as far as sickness goes." And that really concerned my mom. They didn't say that to my face, but they did say that to her. Things should have been getting better, but they weren't. The infection, the pocket of infection, had not completely gone away as much as they wanted, and the antibiotics weren't quite doing what they wanted them to do.
Yep. Sunday was a really scary day. So this infection was supposed to liquefy with all these high-hitting antibiotics and drain out of his body. And this was supposed to happen within a few hours. So we had gone through Saturday night. Mitch was in excruciating pain if he moved at all. And this was not draining. And the physicians were really concerned. They were just trying to wait and see because, as they were explaining, there was really no good recourse. If they had to go in surgically, it was going to be pretty tough with all the scar tissue and likelihood of damaging other organs. It was just really bad, and we needed that infection to drain, and it just wasn't. So at that point, I had my mother-in-law come into town from out of state. She arrived, and by the end of Sunday, I went home for the first time, and I just knew that we needed help. We needed prayer support. Up until this point, I hadn't really been posting much on social media, even though I'm a pretty open person. I know that Mitch doesn't like to seem weak or to really share a lot of his illnesses or weaknesses or whatever. So I hadn't been posting, but at that point I really felt like that silly pride stuff is just gotta go, and we really need our prayer community. So I posted the need on Facebook and immediately had about 150 comments of people, our family, friends, and community saying that they were praying very intensely for him. As soon as I posted it, I just closed the computer, and I brought to mind Philippians 4:6, which says this: "Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And I followed that template. I thanked God for his goodness, for our eternal hope, for all the good things that he had brought to my life, Mitch's life, our marriage, and all the support that we had in that moment. And I just petitioned him and laid all my anxiety at his feet, at the feet of God, and I petitioned him for Mitch's healing, and then I just fell asleep. So I got to wake up several hours later because, of course, in situations like that, you don't sleep through the night. You're, like, up multiple times throughout the night. I got to wake up a few hours later to see this huge outpouring of prayer that was happening around the state and wider for him. And then also a text saying that, praise God, the infection had started to drain. And it really all was in sync with the exact time when he was being covered in prayer.
We alluded to earlier how I'm selfish. And the reason that I'm selfish is because I don't want people to know what's going on in my life. When I was going to the hospital, when I was thinking about the different possibilities that could be happening, I wanted like the worst thing possible to happen. Not because I wanted to be miserable or anything like that, but if I'm going to go to the hospital and I'm going to have some experience, I want it to be worthy of going to the hospital and worthy of having all these problems. And that is just the weirdest mindset you could possibly have.
Yeah.
For some people, but that's kind of what goes through my brain. Like, I don't want to go and have some pansy thing. And that's like not under my control. Nobody cares. That's completely irrelevant and really, really stupid. But it's it's also selfish because I don't want to tell people about me and what's going on, which takes away the opportunity for God to really work and for God to move and for God who called us to be one. He said, let them be one as you and I are one. That was Jesus's prayer. And here I am being so selfish not to share that. So Katie rallied the troops and we saw absolutely amazing things happen from that point forward. I recovered so much better. I remember laying in my hospital bed on Sunday night and it was real late or early in the morning. And I needed to pull myself up in my bed and scoot up. And so I grabbed above my head and pulled as hard as I could and moved myself. And then I realized that wasn't like excruciating. Before, that had been excruciating. And I can actually move a little bit and it doesn't completely kill me. And that's when I knew, okay, I'm getting better. This is good. I will say that God gave me faith this entire time that I'd be all right, and I was. And whether that was going to be true or not, we didn't know at some points, but it turned out the way it turned out, and we're thankful for that. And I'm so thankful for the prayers that I received in that time.
Yep. Looking back, it was prayer that brought us through, and it's really amazing to get to witness something supernatural, and that's what definitely what it felt like, and to God be the glory for what he did.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to wrap up the story, I guess, I spent the next 5 days in the hospital and got better every single day. When I left, I was doing quite well. I'm still a young man and I can still recover fairly well. So I got better and everything's back to normal. Life is back to normal. I don't have to worry about that anymore. But I will say that prayer is really what carried me through. And I learned an important lesson that it's okay to be vulnerable. You know, I say that, and I've always said that for a long time. But when you're in the moment, it can be hard to open up the floodgates and let the blessings come your direction. It's easier sometimes to let those blessings flow out, but it can be hard to receive those blessings just out of selfishness. And I'm so glad that prayer was surrounding this entire time. And it wasn't just Sunday that prayer was there. There was people praying for us the whole time.
Ephesians 6:18 says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So it's really not just in crisis that we're called to do this.
No, it's all the time. I mean, Paul was writing to Ephesus about the armor of God in these verses, and he's urging them not to do it once, not to do it twice, but to do it every day, all the time. We should constantly be in prayer with God. And so that's God's challenge to us. God's wants to be in relationship with us. He wants to spend that time and invest in us and love us. But it's really hard to do when it's a one-directional relationship. And so my prayer today for us is that we all can spend more time talking to our Heavenly Father and bringing all of our wants and needs and desires and petitions and whatever else it is. We can talk to God. We can talk to Him. We can bring Him. We can be real with Him. Sometimes I feel like we're not real, but we can totally be real with God and He'll figure it out.
Yeah. We get to trust Him with the outcomes because He healed you that time, but there will come a time when He doesn't, because we are all destined to die. But in Christ, we have victory over that and victory over every part of this broken world. And that is pretty exciting.
That's very exciting. We'll talk to you guys again soon. I don't promise, but I think it's going to happen.
Bye.